Morning.
To see so many of you this morning, so a very, very warm welcome to, it is warm as well, isn't it, to our worship. So it's great that you've been able to join us, those of you who are here physically, and for those of you who are joining us online, a huge welcome to you as well. I suspect there'll be quite a few joining us online, being as it is the end of half term, so I'm aware of a few people away for half term, but it's great to see so many physically here despite that, and great to see the A band with us, leading us in worship this morning, so thank you to them as well. We will be joining in Holy Communion as part of our act of worship this morning, so I'll give you the full kind of instructions about how we do that in a COVID-free, COVID-safe way a little bit later on. But let me begin by reading you a psalm. Psalm 100, which is always a great psalm to turn to, isn't it? It says this: shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him, singing quietly with joy. Know that the Lord is God. God made us all. We are all his. His people, the sheep of his pasture. So enter his gates with thanksgiving. Let us come into his courts with praise. Let us give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever. I'm sure we can all subscribe to that this morning. So we're going to come with our praise and our worship. We're going to join in singing very quietly behind our masks. Bless the Lord, O my soul. So I would invite you to stand as you are able, as we sing quietly and as the worship band lead us in Bless the Lord, O my soul. Thank you. thanksgiving, shall we? Let's pray. Our glorious and majestic God, it is so good for us to be here in this place at this time to meet with you. And we've just sung those words, the sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. And we do indeed praise you for this new day. And now is indeed the time to sing your praise. And we come because we want to bless you, God, for all that you are and all that you mean to us. Thank you, God, that you're the one who blesses us with so much. We see your beauty and we receive your blessings in so many ways. So we want to pause from our busyness of our lives to say thank you, God. Thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy. Thank you for all of your goodness to us. Thank you for your presence with us. Thank you for that relationship that you invite us to participate in with you. Thank you for you, Father God, that you made us as an expression of your love and you call us your children. And we thank you, Jesus, that you came to show us God and to reconcile us to life in all its fullness. And thank you, Holy Spirit, that you make your home in our hearts and you abide in us. Oh, but dear God, as we bring to you our praise, we're mindful of so many times that we've left you out of our lives. Times when we've neglected to praise you or live as your children. Once again, we come this morning needing your grace and asking you to forgive us for those times when we've not lived in the light of your glory. So in your infinite mercy, will you forgive us once more? Oh God, we praise you that you do forgive us and you accept us just as we are. Oh, be glorified in our time together this morning, we pray. May we know your presence with us. May we hear you speaking to us. Will you inspire us? Will you captivate us and thrill us with more of your wonder? Today we pray. For we ask all of these things to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay, what we're going to do this morning is do a tiny little introduction of somebody. There are a couple who joined us. Moved up north, must have been in during 2019. Quickly immersed themselves in the life and ministry and the work of PMC. And then, of course, we went into lockdown. And we've been in lockdown, as you know, for a long time. Fred and Deb Setters, you will know Fred quite well because Fred is the face and the voice of normally the other side of the interview. So during lockdown, when we've been doing our online services, Fred has been the one doing that. Fred and Deb have got more and more involved in the church. And last week, or a couple of weeks ago it was, at our ACM, we invited Fred onto the leadership team at PMC. And one or two people said, who's Fred? We know that he's the guy at the end of the interviews, but we don't really know that much about them. So I thought we'd put that right this morning, and I'd invite Fred and Debs to come up if they could. I'm just going to ask them a couple of questions this time about themselves so we can get to know them a little bit better. Thank you very much. So, Fred and Debs, thank you for agreeing to chat to us this morning. And not just to chat to me, but chat to all of us here and chat to all of those that are watching us online. Tell us a little bit about yourselves, about who you are and where you're living now and where you come from.
Yeah, well come on. I'm on, there we go. We moved over to the UK in August 2019. Prior to that, we were both living in the lovely Channel Island of Guernsey, which is where I was born back in 1966. And Deb was born on the island of Sark, and moved to Guernsey to go to school. So, yeah, we've been living there for about 50-odd years, and married for 30 years.
Wow. You must have been a very young bride, Debs. Indeed.
And I've got two grown-up daughters, one currently in the UK and one still in Guernsey. And so, yeah, we moved up to Cumbria in August 2019. And we've been renting for a year in the lovely village of Hartley, just outside Kirkstephen. And we've now bought a property there in September of last year during lockdown. So we're very well settled in the community there.
And what about work and family? Are you retired now? Are you working now? You can't possibly be retired, either of you.
Semi. Hang on. I'll let Deb tell you what she does during the week.
Yeah, so I'm a teacher, primary school teacher, and I've been teaching for just over 30 years. And half of that has been as a special needs coordinator. So that's what I do. And I've been really fortunate. I started, when we moved to Cumbria, I started volunteering at the local primary school. And now I am paid to work
there. Wow,
so
fantastic.
It's really great. I work there 3 days a week at the moment. So absolutely.
Isn't it right you have a slight passion for sheep as well?
I do have it. Well, having come from Guernsey where there really aren't any sheep, and then moving to live on a farm, I've had a great experience, 2 seasons now, to be involved in lambing at the farm. So I've discovered a great passion for...
For baler twine.
Mucking out, actually. I'm rather skilled at mucking out, I have discovered.
Thank you. And Fred, tell us about your radio work, because you still do quite a lot of radio work, don't you?
I do, yeah. My background is in accountancy, which I did for a number of years, mainly to pay the mortgage and to put my daughters through university. But as that has sort of tailed off, I became involved in hospital radio about 6 or 7, maybe even 8 years ago, actually. Yeah, 8 years ago. And started there as a presenter of a programme, and then eventually ended up running it a couple of years later, so was managing the team there. And I've now moved into the whole area of, it's called syndicated radio. What we are, we're freelance radio presenters, so we're not linked to, like, the BBC or, you know, the commercial stations, but we provide programmes for stations around the world, so that it tends to be a lot of smaller radio stations where they're reliant on volunteers. Mm. So their volunteers can't always be there, so we provide the programmes when they can't be there. So, I started that back in, 2016. That off, and I'm now looking after over 120 stations around the world.
Wow.
So it's kind of mind-blowing, because you never know where you're going out and at what time, but it's nice to sort of build these relationships, although they're over email and they're over the radio. You do get to sort of hear the people that you're listening to your programmes, and, you know, they're really enjoying it and they're enjoying the music. So it's nice to know we're making a difference, yeah.
Brilliant. Yeah. And as far as PMC is concerned, I know that I've had the pleasure of perhaps getting to know you better than a lot of others have, but I know that you've immersed yourselves very passionately into the life and ministry of PMC. Perhaps you could just tell people the kind of things that you've already got involved with and what your passions are.
Yeah, I mean, for me, yes, you will have seen me online doing the interviews, which has been great, because when we joined PMC was just before lockdown, and we started to sort of get to know people and build bridges, and then suddenly everything changed. And so it's been nice to sort of interview various folk around the church and get to know a little bit about them. And that's been good. And being involved with the coffee mornings as well on a Saturday morning, which has been real fun for us as well, because again we've got to know people and been helping lead that in recent weeks. That's been good.
For me, it's really been meeting people in the community where we live and here at PMC. Through, we did initially start coming to supper clubs and then they stopped, and we enjoyed coming to the children's, was it tea at four or something, meeting the children there. And we're recently getting involved with CAP as befrienders. So
We've had all the checks done now, and we did a little bit at Christmas, and so we'll be working alongside debt counsellors in the Kirby area.
Fantastic.
Working as befrienders.
Fantastic.
So that's going to be really, well, really excited to meet, meet people. And
we're really excited to have you
that.
On the CAP team as well. It's brilliant. It's
really
brilliant.
Good.
Yeah. Okay. So, final question. As we think about PMC now, we had our ACM obviously a couple of weeks ago, and we think about what we're doing now as a church as we come out of lockdown and start moving forward, almost with a blank sheet of paper, and asking ourselves, where is God leading us, and what are we doing? What is the thing that you're most excited about? Where you think God's leading us as a church?
I think the most exciting thing is that it's a blank sheet, that we're making in some ways a new start. And I think it's given us a chance during lockdown to reflect on what is important to us as Christians, and what's important to us as a body of people, as a church. And for us, we were thinking about it in the week, and I suppose that the key word for us is community. It's community where we are here. But also, because of lockdown, it's community where we live day to day. And I think that's going to be exciting, because I think lockdown has opened up a lot of opportunities for us in our neighbourhoods to be the love of God. And I think that's something that we can continue and build upon.
Wow.
But also, you know, being God's people here. You know, when he gathers us all together from our different villages, towns, areas that we come from. And to see what God's got in store for the future, because it's a blank sheet, so that's going to be exciting.
And it is exciting, isn't it? Yeah.
I think for me, really, I just love meeting people, making connections, and seeing how they all fit in. And so I can't wait to. I suppose naturally I'm quite shy, but actually I'm trying to be really brave and make the effort, like, to talk to people, even though, you know, everybody's new to us. And I think really you know, you just have to go for it and talk to people. And I'd really like to be welcoming, to join the welcome team and to welcome people, even though you've probably been here 40-50 years and I don't know you, but I'd like to welcome you and be part of just loving getting to know people and making those connections. And
Fabulous. Linda, make a note. Do you know the wonderful thing? Thank you, Fred and Deb, so much for sharing with us. The wonderful thing about what you've just said there is you have no idea what I'm going to be talking about later on. But actually, you talked about being excited about community and building community, and that's exactly what we're going to be thinking about as we go forward. So there we are, God's in this. So thank you so much for sharing with us, and it's great to have you with us. So bless you. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Okay, now, there is a psalm, Psalm 89, which talks in great detail about how everything belongs to God, how the earth and everything in the earth is God's, and God made it all as an expression of God's love. So we've got a little clip that we've put together of various people in the church that are reciting parts of that psalm. So have a look and we'll watch it now.
Your love, O God, is my song and I'll sing it.
I'll never stop telling the story of your love, how you built all creation and guaranteed everything in it.
Your love, O God, is my song and I will sing it.
Your love has always been our foundation.
Your love, O God, is my song and I'll sing it.
The heavens are yours and the earth is yours.
Everything in the world is yours. You created it all.
Your love, O God, is my song and I'll sing it.
From the north to the south pole, even the mountains sing duets to you.
Your love, O God, is my song and I will sing it.
Your vibrant beauty is inside all of us. You have been so good to us.
Your love, O God, is my song, and I'll sing it.
All we are and all we have is from you, O God.
Your love, O God, is my song, and I'll sing it.
Your love, O God, is my song, and I'll sing it.
Do you know, it's a shame that that clip only takes, what did that take, about 20 seconds to play that, 30 seconds or something like that? But it takes days and weeks to try and organise everything. So thank you for Tracy and all of those that put that together. It's lovely, yeah. We'll try and put it on the website so that you can see it. It's time for us to join in another worship song. We're going to sing quietly together, Everyone Needs Compassion. And again, I would invite you to stand as you're able, otherwise you're going to be sat down for a very long time. So let's join in worship together. Thank you.
First reading is taken from 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 to 27. One body, many parts. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body. Whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts we think are less honourable we treat with special honour, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. The second reading is taken from 1 Ephesians, verses 3 to 11. Spiritual blessings in Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace, that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will.
Thank you, Kath. Let me start by asking you a question this morning, just a rhetorical question. Have you been saved, I wonder? The reason I'm asking you that question is that I've recently been reflecting on the coronavirus pandemic and its effect on the world. The World Health Organization has a mantra that it seems to have adopted as a kind of a motto. It says this: none of us will be safe until all are safe. It says this on its website: let us make no mistake, our fight against coronavirus is far from over. A global pandemic requires no less than a world effort to end it. None of us will be safe until everyone is safe. Global access to coronavirus vaccines, tests and treatments for everyone who needs them anywhere is the only way out. Now, you and I may have had our vaccinations now, possibly. We rejoice, don't we, that we are safe. But, of course, we're not safe until the whole world is safe. On another topic, in November this year in Glasgow, the leaders of the richest nations of the world are meeting to hold a summit on climate change. And in a statement they said this: we must be clear that climate change is a global issue and there is an obligation on us all to take action. Yesterday was World Environment Day. Our planet's ecosystems are being exploited and destroyed, and we all need to act, don't we? The world will not make a difference to climate change or to saving our planet unless the whole world takes action. Unilateral action just won't be enough. We're all in this together, and the only solution for our planet is if we all act together. Like so many things in this world, we're all in this together. Unless all are covered, then none of us are covered. The whole we are discovering is far more important than the individual parts. And I wondered, as I was thinking about this, whether the same thing can be applied to the good news of Jesus, this gospel that we love. Maybe in that too there is a sense that none of us can be truly saved until everything is saved. We just read some remarkable words from Ephesians 1. We are united with Christ, we read. You know, that little word we, that we just translate as that two-letter word, is a Greek word called himas. And himas means far more than just a select few who might be included in the we. Himas means all of humanity, all of civilization, all things. Excuse me. Everyone and everything is united with Christ, Paul is saying. He goes on, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. Now that tiny word us is once again that word himas. Paul is saying that before anything existed, God loved all of creation and chose all that God had made to be holy. God decided to include everyone and everything into his family and brought it all to him through Christ. And Paul goes on, God has now revealed his own good plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything on heaven and on earth. Wow. You know, in the feedback that we had to our ACM a couple of weeks ago, two or three of you commented that you'd want some more deeper biblical teaching in services like this. Well, right here in Ephesians, maybe we have something that we've never, ever considered before. You know, personally, you and I may be saved, and that's fabulous. But perhaps we're not truly saved until everything is saved. You see, God's plan right from the start of things was that everything, absolutely everything that God had made would be reconciled and included and would belong as part of God's plan for the universe. In Romans 8, Paul says this, for all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children really are. With eager hope, creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. God's heart, God's desire, God's actions are for all of humanity and all of creation. God realizes that no one is safe until everyone is safe. One is not saved unless all are saved. John Wesley once developed a principle of Methodist teaching called the Four Alls. You may have heard of them. And it says this, all need to be saved. All may be saved. All may know themselves saved. All may be saved to the uttermost. Have you heard, I wonder, of the African word Ubuntu? There was a clip recently doing the rounds on Facebook. An anthropologist proposed a game for some children in an African tribe. Excuse me. He put a basket full of fruit near a tree and he told the kids that when he gave the command to run, whoever got to the fruit first could have all the sweet fruits for themselves. And then when he told them to run, what happened is they each took each other's hands and they ran together. And they sat enjoying the treats that they collectively come to. When asked why they had all run together like that, when one of them could have had all the fruits for themselves, they said this, Ubuntu, how can one of us be happy if all the others are sad? Ubuntu in African culture means I am because we are. It's a philosophy, a way of being that asserts that it's all of society rather than each individual that makes us human. Our humanity, our being is inextricably linked to the welfare, the good, the well-being of the other. Bishop Desmond Tutu translates it like this, a person is a person only through other persons. He goes on, we need other humans for us to learn how to be human, for none of us comes fully formed into this world. We would not know how to talk, how to walk, to think, to eat, unless we learned how to do these things from others. For us, the solitary human being is a contradiction in terms. We're all created for a delicate network of relationships, of interdependence with our fellow human beings, with the rest of creation. I have gifts that you don't have, and you have gifts that I don't have. We're different in order for us to know our need of each other. To be human is to be dependent on one another. And we in the West are starting to understand perhaps a little bit of Ubuntu because of things like the coronavirus and climate change. But you know, Ubuntu, I believe, has always been God's way. The whole purpose of God's creation and God's heart for all things. In the West, we've become, over the last couple of hundred years or so, so individualized, haven't we? Life is all about me and my wants and my needs, about my personal happiness or achievement. And so we've ended up in a society where people are often lonely in a crowd, shattered by their anonymity. Our absorption with ourselves has become the focus of all our attention. And that's what makes it possible for people to pass by on the other side of the road. And we all do it all so often. People go through life hurting and wounded and suffering and needing a sense of belonging that they're unable to find purely in themselves. And as Christians, you know, I think we can so easily do the same with God and with our faith. We personalize our God. We make it all about me and my response and my salvation and my walk with Jesus. The whole world might be hurting and wounded, but I'm all right. But you know, I don't think that was ever God's intention. God's plan, as we've just discovered in Ephesians 1, is for the whole of creation to belong, to be included, to be reconciled to relationship and harmony with the God who created everything and included everything and made everything to run in harmony and community together. 1 Corinthians 15:28 sums up God's final plan. When he has done this, it says, God will be all in all. In Colossians 1 puts it like this, Christ is before all things, and in Christ all things hold together. God's mission for this world, for this planet, for all of creation, only works when everything will be reconciled to him. It's an Ubuntu plan. Ubuntu is about those spiritual values that we see promoted all the way through Scripture. Things like generosity, hospitality, compassion, sharing, caring, reaching out to the other, to the outsider, to the marginalized. It speaks of the intrinsic worth of persons as not dependent on things such as status or race or creed or gender or sexuality or achievement, but on everything belonging, everyone being included, everything being sacred and precious and holy and good. For God, redemption is a corporate thing, not a personal thing. Paul gives the illustration, we just read it, of a body. God has put each part just where he wants it. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. If one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. The other week, I had toothache. It was only one tooth that was hurting, but it affected all of my body, everything. It was awful. I mean, I'm the worst at pain anyway, Trace will tell you. We were on Arran at the time. We had to cancel everything. We had to stop and get an early ferry back and make an emergency trip to the dentist. And I went straight to the dentist, and the dentist did pull the tooth out. And oh, what a relief. Suddenly everything was well. Everything was well. Here's the point. We're only whole when all are whole. We're only healed when all are healed. God's kingdom will not be realized until all are part of the kingdom. And perhaps our Western individualism has done more than any other single factor to anesthetize the power of the gospel, to limit the power of God's love. Salvation, heaven, hell, worthiness, grace, eternal life, these have all become to be read through the lens of our separate egos. And so we've ended up crowding out God's transformative power and God's heart for all of society. We're left with a tiny view of God that hasn't the space for caring for this earth or our society or the outsider or the full body of Christ. Do you remember that illustration that Jesus gave in Matthew 22 about the kingdom of God when he described it as a wedding banquet? All were invited, all were included, absolutely everyone had a seat at the table. That's how God wants to act. The kingdom of God, God's good news, must be good news for all of creation. Otherwise, it's not good news at all. We need to get away from this tribal or individual view of God and carry God's news to people all over the world, to all things. That includes our care for the environment and with how we steward all that God's entrusted to our care. God seeks connection, not separation. Communion, not division. Reconciliation, not alienation. Redemption, not abandonment. God's design is that this whole planet is heading somewhere good, and we need to be agents of that. Jesus himself said that he'd come and had to die so that all people would be lifted to God. The angels announced that this Christ was going to be good news of great joy for all people. But friends, we have to make it so. We have to carry that gospel, that good news, to every person, every animal, every tree, everything that God created, and make it really good news. We all matter because we're made in the image of God, and to God we all matter. We all belong to one family, God's family. Everything is included, and everything was made for fullness of life. None of us are saved until we're all saved. And so my invitation to you is this. Let us dare to consider that we and us and this amazing God we worship extends to more than we imagined. Let's dare to make it good news for all. Let's dare to embrace this Ubuntu spirit, to include and embrace and find belonging for all things. Let's dare to see God as a God of relationship with all things, with our communities, with all of humanity, with all of creation. And let's dare to reach out beyond ourselves and see the bigger picture of what God wants to do in us and through us. And as it goes on to say in Ephesians 1, may it all be for his praise and his glory. Amen. Kath is going to come and share our prayers with us.
Thank you, God, that you love. Excuse me. Try again. Thank you, God, that you love and care for us so much and want the best for us. Thank you that you died for us and sent the Holy Spirit to be our counselor, guide, and comforter. Help us to allow him to minister in our lives so that we become your mouth, hands, and feet on earth. We pray that we will love and care for others as you love and care for us. Help us to recognize those people who need our help, those who need a listening ear, those who need our practical and financial help. Prompt us to be available and to be bold to share our faith. We thank you for Alpha and the many people who have found you through its ministry. We pray that many more people will come to know the life-changing experience of having a personal relationship with you. We thank you for the ministry of CAP and pray that many more people will have the relief of becoming debt-free and that they will open up to your loving grace during that process.
We pray for those people who are struggling in any way at the moment, such as financial difficulties, unemployment, illness, grief, and depression. We pray that you will send the right people to help them, and that may be us, and that they will experience your loving presence, comfort, and strength. We pray especially at this time for the family and friends of Jack Taylor, the 19-year-old from Stainton, who was tragically killed in a car accident at the beginning of this week. We pray for those places in the world where there is war, corrupt leaders, violence, injustice, poverty, disease, illness, and starvation. We pray especially for the people of Afghanistan, Syria, Yemen, and North Korea. Burkina Faso, where 100 people in the village of Solhan were killed by gunmen on Friday, and where the local market and several homes were burned down. Refugees who are risking their lives to escape war, violence, and hunger. Hong Kong, where democracy is being tightened. The family and friends of D. John Reed, the 14-year-old, who was stabbed by two other teenagers in Birmingham on Monday. Lord, please change the hearts and minds of those who are hurting and exploiting others. Please bring freedom and dignity to those being exploited and harmed, and encourage those of us who have so much to help people in need in any way we can. We pray that you will guide our politicians to act compassionately. Also, please guide them about whether to implement the next planned relaxation of COVID restrictions. We thank you for your wonderful creation. We are so grateful that we live in such a beautiful part of Britain and that we see your handiwork in the mountains, lakes, rivers, waterfalls, sea, trees, flowers, and animals. We pray that we will never take your beautiful creation for granted, and that we will take our part in looking after it for future generations, even in little ways like minimising plastic that we use and the energy that we use. Please prompt world leaders to work together to tackle the big issues of deforestation, climate change, and global warming. Thank you, Lord, that you put on our hearts what is important to you. Help us to show your love and care in our local communities and the world, and to be good stewards of your creation. Help us to listen to you and to do your will. Amen.
Thank you, Kath. We come to that wonderful part in our service where we've been thinking a bit about community, but where we do this thing called communion. Communion means being in community. It's communion with Christ, communion with one another. And I'd invite those of you who are watching online, if you'd like to perhaps get yourself some bread and some juice, maybe you may choose to join us in this act. So what we're going to do is we're going to have a hymn in a minute, and then I will sanitize my hands. There's a response that we're going to use for some of this communion, and Duncan will put the words up on the screen, and I'd invite you to join in with the bits that are in bold type. And then when it comes to the distribution of the elements, again, the communion stewards will sanitize our hands, and David and Trace and myself will come round with the bread, and let's retain it, the wafers, and then I'll say a few words and we'll eat together, and then we'll do the same thing with the wine. Is that all right? So we're going to join in singing number 350, it is, if you're following in Singing the Faith, or the words will be here. We'll just sing, I think, the verses 1, 2 and 4, if that's all right, 1, 2 and 4, of I Cannot Tell Why He Whom Angels Worship. The last verse goes like this: I cannot tell how all the land shall worship, when at his bidding every storm is stilled. Or who can say how great the jubilation when every human heart with love is filled? But this I know, the skies will thrill with rapture, and myriad, myriad human voices sing, and heaven to earth will answer. At last the Saviour, Saviour of the world, is King. So I'd invite you to stand as you're able as we join together.
I cannot tell why he whom angels worship should set his love upon us now and then. Oh, why as shepherd he should seek the wanderers to bring them back, they know not how.
Have the words up, please, Duncan. That'd be great. So if you can join in with the bits that are in bold. The Lord be with you. And also, lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to God. It is right to give. We do offer you praise, dear God, and hearts lifted high. For in the communion of your love, Christ comes close to us and we come close to Christ. And so therefore, with the whole realm of nature around us, with earth, sea and sky, we sing to you. With brothers and sisters, east and west, we sing to you. And we join in the song of your unending greatness. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Among friends gathered around a table, Jesus took bread. And having blessed it, he broke the bread and he gave it to the disciples, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you." And in the same way, he took wine. And having given thanks for it, he poured it out and gave the cup to his disciples, saying, "This cup is the new relationship with God, sealed with my blood. Take this and share it. I shall drink wine with you next in the kingdom of God." And so now, following Jesus' examples, we take this bread and this wine, the ordinary things of this world which God will bless. And as Jesus offered thanks for the gifts of the earth, let us also celebrate God's goodness. Lord Jesus Christ, present with us now, as we do in this place what you did in an upstairs room, will you breathe your spirit upon us and upon this bread and this wine, that they may be heaven's food and drink for us, renewing, sustaining and making us whole. That we may be your body on earth, loving and caring for all of the world. Look, the bread of heaven is broken for the life of the world. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. And so we eat, giving thanks to God for feeding us and for filling us with his life. Thanks be to God. Amen. Jesus said, "This blood is the new covenant, my relationship with all people." And so we drink with hearts full of gratitude and thanks for all Christ has done. Amen. Dear Lord, we do thank you for feeding us once more, for filling us once more with your life, for pouring out once more your grace and your love into our hearts. And as we go from this table, Lord, would you inspire us to take your love, your grace, your salvation to those in our communities, those in our families, those in our world. Let us bring your kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. And so we join with the responses that you will see for our closing responses. On our hearts and on our houses, the blessing of God. In our coming and our going, the peace of God. In our life and our believing, the love of God. At our end and new beginning, the arms of God to welcome us and bring us home. Amen. Amen. Just to remind you of two things that I haven't done yet. In terms of the little glasses that you have, you can dispose of those in the bucket there as you leave. You will probably have seen a little envelope that you have. Next Sunday, the 13th, is MHA Sunday. This is a day when we particularly think of, as we do in the days leading up to it, the work of MHA and all the work they do, not only in the homes that they produce and run for the elderly, but also the the amazing ministry that they do in terms of chaplaincy, in terms of counselling, in terms of putting on different events and initiatives. So please do help support that work if you can. There are also bowls on the side for you to leave your own donations for the work and life and ministry of this church. Go well. God bless you. Have a great week. And we'll see you all soon. Thank you.